The number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell to a number not seen since 1973. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 17th of November. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other business and economic news, there's an anti-Trump economic movement that's starting to pick up steam. We'll tell you about Grab Your Wallet this half hour. Meanwhile, Trump supporters say they're boycotting PepsiCo. Are you hungry? McDonald's is offering table service, and Burger King is selling three pancakes for 89 cents. A Des Moines real estate developer wants to bring his business closer to home. An Iowa sock manufacturing company has been sold. Did you even know we had one? Folks are buzzing about the Container Store to open this week in Des Moines. And we're talking turkey this half hour as well. Guests today include Brian and Grant Christian of Christian Photo as we continue our march toward Small Business Saturday. Then after the markets, we'll talk about the economics of hemp and the impact on Iowa. The Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, Taro International, the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, and the Strudel House. The Business News Hour is also supported by Arion, Shawl and Desmond CPAs, the Creamer Law Firm, Iowa Softwater, and Des Moines Computer Repair. The Business News comes your way right after this.
Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is supported by Iowa Computer Repair. Keeping your business running, iowacomputerrepair.com. And the Strudel House at Austrian Restaurant and Bakery, the taste of Europe in Des Moines, strudelhouse.com.
We just kind of feel like we're broadcasting live from San Diego. 74 degrees in the capital city right now, under mostly cloudy skies. Look for a low tonight of about 58 or so. And then for tomorrow, things start to cool down. High of about 56, low tomorrow night. 28 windy conditions going to be happening here in central Iowa. Well, we've not seen numbers like this for 43 years. Today, we learned that the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level since 1973. It's the latest bit of information that suggests businesses are confident enough in the economy to hold on to their workers. Unemployment benefit applications can also be a measurement of layoffs, which have also fallen to near record low levels. Hiring is typically solid when layoffs are scarce, suggesting that steady job gains should continue into the very near future. Companies have slowed their hiring from last year, but are adding jobs quickly enough to lower the unemployment rate over time. The economy, by the way, gained 161,000 jobs in October, and the unemployment rate fell to 4.9%. Well, these people are not taking it to the street to protest the recent election of Donald Trump, but they are not taking out their wallet either. What are we talking about? It's called Grab Your Wallet. Now, some disappointed voters are betting that their wallets can bring about the change that they want to see. They're trying to convince more than two dozen retailers, such as Nordstrom and Amazon, to drop Ivanka Trump products. The Grab Your Wallet campaign was hatched by Sue Anteco, a 59-year-old grandmother, and marketing specialist Shannon Coulter, who told CBS last month that the protest was designed to express their concerns over Trump's boasts about sexual assault. Now, since the election, the boycott has actually picked up steam. Coulter has noted that many consumers are looking for ways to register their disappointment in Trump's victory. The campaign scored one victory earlier this month when retailer Shoes.com said it would remove Ivanka Trump's shoes from its site. Now, the campaign also targets brands that align themselves with Mr. Trump, such as New Balance, which ended up in the crosshairs when one of its company executives made supportive comments about Donald Trump, and alt-right website The Daily Stormer called the brand of shoes, quote, the official shoes of white people. Ouch. Ivanka Trump's products are geared toward young, upwardly mobile professional women, the type of college-educated voter who is likely to be concerned about her father's sexual boasting, as well as what his presidency will mean for gender equality issues. Now, while Ivanka Trump has portrayed herself as a supportive daughter and a proponent of working mothers, critics say she's using her father's political gains to further her commercial interests, and all of that raises some ethical concerns. Those conflicts were brought into stark relief this past week when Ivanka Trump's company sent an email to fashion writers that promoted a $10,800 gold bracelet that she wore during a 60 Minutes interview. Welcome to the election cycle, ladies and gentlemen, that just keeps on giving. Meanwhile, and we're not done. Meanwhile, Trump supporters are boycotting PepsiCo. Why? Well, because they've been taken in by a false report. Trump supporters are vowing to snub PepsiCo products ranging from Doritos to Tropicana because of false reports that CEO Indira Nooyi told Americans who voted for him to take their business elsewhere. In other words, the CEO of PepsiCo says, hey, if you voted for him, take your business elsewhere. But the claim is false. That's according to rumor debunking site Snoops.com. Reports of her comments now are circulating on social media sites as Twitter and Facebook, with users posting articles from conservative blogs and websites that say it's the truth. But it's not the truth. The boycott comes amid rising concern about the spread of false reports from bogus news sites and how they may have impacted the election. BuzzFeed News concluded that fake clickbait headlines drew more readers than real articles during the last 3 months of the campaign coverage. Yikes. Told you, this election season just keeps on giving. We could not make this stuff up. Oh, the times they are a-changing. Today we learned that McDonald's is going to put up a major upgrade of their U.S. restaurants. As part of the company's efforts to become a modern and progressive burger company, McDonald's is adding self-service ordering kiosks, craft burgers, and get this, table service to many of its stores. McDonald's Experience of the Future, that's what they call it, is currently available in about 500 of the company's 14,000 U.S. restaurants and will expand in the coming years. Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, San Francisco, and Seattle will be the next markets to adopt McDonald's new technology and services. McDonald's employees will now spend more time in the front of the restaurant, delivering food directly to the tables and offering traditional dining hospitality. Isn't that something? I mean, think about that. What a change that is in the modus operandi of fast food. Meanwhile, Burger King today announced they're selling for a limited time at participating restaurants an order of 3 pancakes for 89 cents. That's less than 50 cents. That's less than 30 cents a flapjack. Burger King has been promoting the new low-price offer on Facebook and Twitter. The 89-cent order of pancakes comes with syrup and butter, but no sausage links. Can't be greedy, right? As you might imagine, the reactions to this astonishingly cheap price food is excitement, shock, plenty of both. Also, stories about gluttony and speculation about how and why Burger King could sell such an item for under a buck. Well, clearly, these types of promotions are not about making money, but they are about increasing foot traffic. And by the way, if you want the super cheap flapjacks, just remember that breakfast at Burger King ends at 10:30 in the morning. Sharp. Get there before 10:30. No breakfast all day. Not yet. Hey, when we come back, a Des Moines real estate developer says he's selling high-dollar real estate in Arizona and buying more property here in the Midwest. Why? We'll tell you about that when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
We are young, hearted to heart.
You found the business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro. The Business News Hour from Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications and the training team at Tarot International. Learn the skills necessary to improve your career and your business at Tarot. That's Tarot.com. T-E-R-O.com.
Hey, if you want to reach out to us on social media, you may do that on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. We also have, of course, a Facebook page. We've got our radio blog out there where you can catch all of our long-form business information. Interviews, should you miss any of what we do Monday through Friday, starting at 5:05 and ending up at 6 o'clock with the Business News Hour. Well, Heard Real Estate Services just purchased 5 Hy-Vee grocery stores and 2 Hy-Vee convenience stores at a price tag of about $61 million from American Realty Capital. That's a New York real estate firm. The acquisition includes grocery stores in West Des Moines and on Grand Avenue, as well as stores in Cedar Rapids, Nebraska, and suburban Kansas City. Now, Hy-Vee is not leaving. I mean, they're going to continue to lease the buildings and operate its grocery stores. What's going on? Well, this was the second largest purchase of Richard Hurd, a real estate developer here in Des Moines. The largest came this spring when he bought 7 grocery stores from Hy-Vee for $82 million. So what's going on with David Hurd? As a matter of fact, I know Mr. Hurd and his son Richie, and they're very involved in development of all kinds of properties here in the Des Moines metro. And what Richard has been doing is buying Hy-Vees and other Midwestern properties to offset the sale of properties that he's made in the Sun Belt. In the past year, Hurd said he's sold about 10 properties around Phoenix and Las Vegas, where West Coast investors are driving up real estate prices, making it an opportune time to sell and then reinvest here in the Heartland. A private equity firm from Texas is buying Iowa sock maker Fox River Mills. I bet you didn't know that we had a sock maker in Iowa. The family that owned Fox River for more than 40 years agreed to sell it to Dallas-based Long Water Opportunities for an undisclosed price. Now, the Mason City Globe Gazette reports that Fox River will become a subsidiary of another sock maker that Longwater already owns. That's a New Jersey-based Standard Merchandising Company. Fox River specializes in knitting socks and handwear under its own brand and for other companies. The business was founded way back in 1900. Well, it's all the buzz here in the Des Moines Metro, a 22,000-square-foot store that specializes in helping you store your stuff opens on Saturday. The Container Store will sell more than 11,000 items for storing stuff and offer products and ideas to help in organizing closets, kitchens, laundry rooms, offices, bathrooms, crafts, and garages. We should use their help, I think, at our office. The store will open in the same retail center as REI and the now-empty Fresh Market space, which the grocer vacated last spring. This is going to be the first container store in Iowa. The Coppell, Texas-based company currently operates about 80 stores in 30 states. Got too much stuff? Go to the Container Store. I got a feeling our producer has got his eye on that. As a matter of fact, we had this story that they were coming earlier this spring, and I saw, Tyler's eyes light up. Would that be accurate?
That is. I'm a big fan of the Container Store.
Even though you haven't been to one, have you?
No, I've ordered online because they have the clear shoe boxes that stack really nice. So when you have over 100 pair of sneakers, you got to figure out something to store them, and Container Store is the best.
Does your wife have the same fetish, shoe fetish?
No, she has a lot of jeans.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but I can't ever tell her to not.
But the Container Store is high on your list.
High on my list, yeah. I debated waiting because I had to make a new purchase. I debated waiting because I wanted to check it out. But, you know, I'll just have to buy more sneakers.
There you go. Yeah, I can see that. Tyler Hackenmiller, our producer, ladies and gentlemen. We always ask him for the things that are going on in the lifestyle of the millennial. There it is. Drake University College of Business and Public Administration announced changes to its enrollment process for its Master of Business Administration program. Prospective MBA students who meet certain academic criteria will not be required to complete the entrance exam, starting with students enrolled in the fall semester of 2016. Additionally, incoming students who have not completed an entrance exam and do not meet the requirements for a waiver, but they wish to begin taking courses toward the MBA, may take 9 credit hours toward the degree as part of a new pre-MBA offering from Drake University. Neat stuff. Well, the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation wants to talk turkey, at least your Thanksgiving dinner turkey. It seems that the cost of a Thanksgiving family meal for up to 10 people will be $49.87 this year, down from $50.11 just a year ago. Dave Miller is the Farm Bureau Director of Research, and he tells us that prices for turkey spiked last year because of turkey farmers that were hit hard by the avian flu virus, which, of course, as we all know, devastated flocks. But that's not the case this year, and your Thanksgiving ham is also going to cost less this year as well. A survey shopping list includes turkey, bread stuffing, sweet potatoes, rolls with butter, peas, cranberries, a relish tray of celery and carrots, pumpkin pie with whipped cream, and beverages of coffee and milk, enough to feed 10 people. And so the price of that 10-people meal has actually gone down. The average cost of turkey this year is $22.74 for a whole bird, or $1.42 a pound, which is a decrease of 30 cents per bird. Bam. There you go. Hey, when we come back, we'll have a conversation with Brian and Grant Christian from Christian Photography. It's all part of our feature on Small Business Saturday. Our march towards the 26th continues here on the Business News Hour.
Michael Libby and the Business News Hour is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, Moving Iowa Forward, iowaabi.org. And Iowa Softwater, softwater for you, your family, and your business starts with iasoftwater.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon. In our continuing effort to bring up small business before Small Business Saturday, we've got two guests that can speak to that entire thing. His name is Brian, and his name is Grant. They are the Christians, and they own Christian Photography in Urbandale. Welcome to the Business News Hour, guys. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
This is really special for us because we are big fans of small business, folks that go to work every single day, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning going, did I pay that bill? So you know how it is, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Christian Photography. It's located on Douglas in Urbandale. And you guys have got kind of a long history, don't you,
Brian? We actually do. My father started the business in 76. It was kind of pretty cool because what he did was he photographed weddings and portraits out of his home. He worked at the register, the R&T, for a long time. He's a linotype operator. And he says he was at a museum one day, and he said he saw his machine that he worked on in the museum. He goes, holy no, that's not good. So he opened up the photography studio.
And this is Dick, right?
This is my father, Dick.
Yeah, who still comes to the studio.
He's still hanging around with us. Yeah.
How old is your dad?
He's 76.
Yeah, no kidding. It's wonderful to see him. I mean, he is a fixture in small business operations here, but I had no idea he worked for the Register and Tribune.
Yeah, and so he started the part of the whole business started as doing portraits, and then he's a very smart man. He says, there's nowhere to buy a camera in this town that's, you know, that he needs a better place. So he came up with this shoot photos and sell camera equipment on this as well. So it kind of got to the point where the retail part outgrew the photo department because I shot weddings for 30 years. And so we had more people coming in, more people were like, this is amazing because our people that just never did it before, the amateur part, turned into professionals right in front of our eyes, and we helped them learn how to do that.
That's a great story. Now, did you move around in locations? I mean, you started out of your dad's house.
We started in my house on the south side, in fact, and we moved to Park Fair Mall. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but Park Fair Mall, we were down by the fish pond, if that rings a bell there. Then we moved to right by VA Hospital, 29th and Douglas. And then in 93, we moved where we are in Urbandale, and that's 68th and Douglas.
Right, yeah. And an old church, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was kind of funny. When we got into that church, we were a little concerned about that because our last name's Christian, and we had a lot of people think, let me just say we didn't do a lot of Jewish weddings because of that, you know? And it's like, it's nothing to do with that, you know?
So it's nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Brian Christian, ladies and gentlemen, Christian Photography. Our small business focus for today. And now this is moving into the third generation. We've got Grant here with us. And Grant, welcome.
Hello. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's exciting to be here.
Well, you know, it's exciting for us to be here because we've watched this business grow over the years. And for full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I prefer to do my business at privately owned stores rather than big box. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to get into that here in just a minute. So, Grant, what's your life like? You're in school and you're also working at the store?
Yep. So I've worked at the store since I was, 14. So about 7 years. Got grounded one Saturday, and they said, "You're going to work the next day," and well, the rest is history. So, thank goodness I was acting 14 because I couldn't be happier, and, it's definitely taught me a lot about life. So, as far as me, well, I go to school for marketing and advertising, and I work at the store as often as I can and get interact with everyone.
Right. What kinds of changes have you seen? Obviously, you know, you were still back in the day, and so was I, when we were shooting film.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that has gone away. But that's created its own issues, hasn't it, among professional photographers? Because if you get a point and shoot, now you're a photographer.
That it did bring on a lot more photographers. It helped, really, because everybody thought in the beginning when the film was there, no one could take a photo. The digital made more people more confident because they got to see it right away and said, "I can do this." And it really helped people understand that they were talented. The one thing it did do, in my opinion, is it kind of devalued the photo just slightly. There's so many digital images out there right now, people forget to print them because they see them every day and they don't realize that it possibly might not be on your computer someday, and then they don't have a hard copy.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing. I know of a woman who, when she does photography, when she takes a picture with her phone or whatever it happens to be, she is so judicious about that. She takes only the photo that's going to be great and then gets rid of the rest of them.
Delete.
And keeps the good stuff. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that she has. Now, of course, Christian photography has, and not only cameras, but all of the equipment that goes with it. You also process there as well, don't you?
Right. We do.
And Grant,
we do large prints. We do flash photography. We do
stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, you do stuff.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. That they think that they come here just to do pro cameras. That hurts us a little bit because they don't understand. They can get a $100 camera, or they can get the pro camera.
Right.
Don't you say, Grant?
Yeah, and the big thing is two industries that I think we do a lot for people is, of course, still the processing from Christmas cards to graduation invites and then all the little photos in between. A lot of people will say, "I didn't know you had a lab." And so I'm always excited to kind of talk about the print quality. But then another thing is our actual video, recovery transfers from.
So from VHS or whatever to disc.
Yeah, exactly. And we can do reel-to-reel slideshows or the stuff like that.
I didn't know you did that.
Exactly. It's kind of behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea that you do the video transfer stuff. You know, and that in itself has become a big business because so many of these people have film that's laying out there, and that erodes in time, and best to get it digitally remastered so you can have it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
I bet you see some interesting Super 8s, don't you?
It's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. We'll have the excited grandpa, or, well, at the time, dad, looking at his new car that he just built or whatever. And then sometimes it'll be who knows what.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's fascinating stuff to watch that. We're talking with Grant and Brian Christian from Christian Photography, part of our Small Business Saturday lead up. Let's talk a little bit about why small business versus big box. I have my own theory about all that, but I want to hear from you guys. What do I get when I buy from a local business rather than big box?
The big thing is that every customer has value, no matter what's going on in our heart, and we love them. You know, there's that idea that person chose to come to us for a reason. Maybe it is to get information, or it is to make a purchase or order prints. The thing is, we are so happy to have those people there that we want to make sure you know that we're happy. So you're not a number and you're not a little data in our computer. Yeah. You are a name, and that's something that I've learned by watching my father and grandfather work, is make sure people know that they have value no matter what, and you will succeed. And it makes me so happy.
I'd have to say that I think I'd rather not have a customer. I'd rather have a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do.
That's what we want as customers. You know, we want to matter.
Yeah.
And you know, when you walk into big box someplace, it's just another number. But we want to matter. And so when you walk into Christian Photography or other small businesses, people actually know you and call you by name. It's pretty cool.
Right.
It really is.
The largest hurdle we have is our customers don't understand that our price is the same as their prices. No one understands it. We really don't have a control, or they don't have a control of the price. The companies really do control that part of it. And so when they see the product that this place at $399, it's going to be the same as us. But what's going to be different is Grant or I or anybody there is going to spend 30, 40, 50 minutes, and you come back again and we'll help you with questions you have.
There's the other reason, and that's the thing that I like so much, is when there's an issue or I don't understand how to do something, I know I can go to the experts and they don't have to necessarily guess. You guys know this stuff backwards and forwards, and that saves my time.
Yep.
and my frustration level.
I agree.
Our goal is to not have you deal with the corporate repair side of things. We just want to have you come in and say, hey, this, what's going on? What's wrong with this? And then instead of having to call a 1-800 number or work with a squad of repair people at the big box stores, yeah, or whatever it may be, you're just going to come in and we're going to work with you and find your answer.
Yeah, that's the voice of Grant Christian, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Christian Photography in our lead up to Small Business Saturday. One of the other things I think that's interesting is that oftentimes people may buy something online or they may buy something at the big box, and then something goes quirky with it and they come rolling into your store. And I know this happens because I've seen it, right?
It does. It does happen.
Do you get a chance to turn them?
I think once they realize what happened and what they got wasn't what they thought they got, they might the next time they stop and say, oh, I better go where I need to go. Wouldn't you say, Grant?
Yeah, there's a fine line you have to walk between making sure you help someone so you don't make them upset. But then also, you can't spend 3 hours with someone who unfortunately didn't do business at your store and give them that same service they would have gotten.
This is why we started our classes.
Well, there's my next. See, I was coming back to this.
All right.
Exactly. Because you do more than sell photography equipment.
Correct.
Do more than transfer. Do more than lab work. You also teach people how to use this stuff.
We do. We have a classroom in the basement where we do basic photography. We do Lightroom. They do Photoshop. They do a lot of different classes. It's pretty amazing. It's 2 hours normally, and there could be one class could be 3 weeks long and the other one would be one night, but there's a lot of information. We have a gentleman at work is Andy. He does all our classes for us. Does a wonderful job. Wonderful job.
And when we talk about employees, people that work there, you guys got a stable.
We do. Most of everybody's been with us for 25, and I mean many years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
it's gotta say something good about the company.
I take it that way.
Yeah,
it means a lot to me that they want to still hang out with us.
Yeah, so we're talking not only selling starter equipment,
mm-hmm,
so people can come in there and get their $100 camera if they want to, professional equipment,
mm-hmm,
plus all the accessories that go with it. I mean, from stands and everything, you know, bags,
right,
flash.
I mean, it's going to be
GoPro,
stands,
GoPro,
flash, GoPro. Drones, even.
That's
right.
We have
the flying cameras. We have the DJI stuff. And a big thing that I like to do is, me personally, if someone's going to get a DJI drone with us, I always take it upon myself to make sure I help them set it up, get it registered, teach them how to register it with the government. And then, most importantly, I teach them how important it is to be safe and take your time.
And, mm-hmm. and be careful of those rules.
Exactly.
Because those rules exist for solid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people don't realize this, we took on DJI. We were the fourth company in the United States to be able to buy them directly from China. And it was kind of a scary moment, but we did it because we had to send money to a blind hole. We had no idea if we were going to get it right. But one of the things that I said that we would do with our drones when we first got them is you'd fly before you buy. And that's one thing that we try to do is get everybody up before they say, yeah, I want it.
Wow. It's Christian Photography located in Urbandale. You've been listening to Grant and his father, Brian Christian, talking about what it is to work in a small business on a small business Saturday. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in and doing this. We really
thanks
do
for
appreciate
having
it.
Thank you.
This is good stuff, and I hope that more people understand that the other important thing about this is that when folks spend money with you guys and any small business, that money retains itself in the metro. You know, you're not sending it to some bank in Nova Scotia or someplace. You know, it's all here, and you pay your people with it, and that just in turn continues to drive more of the economic value of what it is you're doing. So good stuff.
Thank you.
All right. That is Grant and Brian Christian, Christian Photography. You'll find them on Douglas in Urbandale, part of our March toward Small Business Saturday. All right, we've got to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. What did the stocks do today? Up, down, in the middle? We will tell you all when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Daily business news broadcast in the Midwest, the Business News Hour is brought to you by REMAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska, realestateconcepts.net, and Shaw Desmond CPAs. Looking beyond the numbers to help you and your business grow, shawdesmond.com.
Let us take a look and see what happened today on Wall Street. Stocks rose again today, putting the major indexes close to all-time highs. As investors were taking a look at economic data and Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's testimony. The Dow added 35 points. Home Depot and Goldman Sachs contributed the most gains. The index closed lower yesterday, snapping a 7-day winning streak. But all is looking a little positive today. And when we rang the bell at, 3 o'clock Central Time, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up by those 35 points, almost 0.2%. 18903 was the number there. NASDAQ was up 39 points, 0.7%, ended the day at 5333. And the S&P 500, 2187 was the final number. That was up by 10 points, or 0.4%. When we come back, Chris Desbro is going to be joining us along with Aaron Scheinman. We're going to be talking about the economics of raising hemp in Iowa. That's next on the Business News Hour.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm, Creamer Law Business Law, CreamerLaw.com, and Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do, DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon as you wind your way home on that parking lot we call Interstate 235. With us in studio is Chris Desbro and Aaron Scheinman. And they are with a group that is purporting the agricultural world of hemp production here in Iowa. And this is pretty important stuff. It really is, because it could very well be a game changer when it comes to a whole bunch of stuff out there, from cellulosic ethanol all the way to products that are made with hemp. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of hemp and get into the economics with our friends Chris and Aaron. Welcome, guys. Good to see you again.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for having us. It's been a while.
Been a while. You know, we went through the legislative session last year. There were some ups and downs, mostly downs for your cause. But, you know, you're back again this year, right?
We are. And we came out of the session with a little bit of momentum. There's been some more understanding going forward. So we're seeing that critical mass being closer and closer.
Let's talk about the misinformation that's out there about hemp production, because, you know, we might as well just lay it on the table, because the moment you say hemp, everybody's going, oh, devil weed, you know, where everybody's going to get high, you know. Yeah. So tell us about that.
Well, and it's funny, half people react with, oh, it's marijuana, everyone's going to be smoking it. And the other half go, you mean that stuff that grows at the corner of my field I've been trying to kill? And so it
well, agriculturalists know that.
Exactly.
Farmers know that.
They do.
It's the folks in the city that are going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and getting very worried. Oh, what are we actually growing out there? But in reality, the plant covers such a wide range of phenotypes that we can really leave a lot of the medical recreational stuff off on the side and not really concern ourselves with it and focus on the varieties that will be grown here agriculturally, which are more focused on fiber, herd, cellulose, things like that.
Okay. So it's not the same thing.
Not the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're all technically the same species, but it runs such a wide gamut of different types of plants you get in the end that...
Now, whatever's in marijuana, it is in hemp, whatever this stuff is, but it's not the potency? Is that what...
It's essentially an academic distinction, a legal distinction, where it's how much of a certain cannabinoid, THC, you can have in the plant by dry weight. It says it's either hemp if it's under that, or it's marijuana if it's over that. And so
we're not trying to get people to smoke.
No, this is in no way some kind of play to get people to smoke. What we would really like to see is farmers to be able to have another cash crop that they can put in the ground for themselves. And, you know, we can create industries in Iowa and kind of bring back the jobs that we've lost over time.
Yeah, and this is a manufacturing opportunity as well, isn't it?
It absolutely is. As people are starting to grow it in other states, they're learning that they can grow very specific cultivars for very specific purposes. And so you can have a whole field grown just for cellulosic ethanol, just for bioplastics, fiber for clothing. And so it's as we each crop we plant, we learn more and more about that.
All right. So let's talk about some of the economics of hemp production and the possibilities for Iowa. You mentioned a couple of byproducts of the plant. Now, I'm familiar with the cellulosic opportunity because that would mean that we could actually sell corn for other things other than, you know, energy, which would be kind of neat as we're continuing to feed more and more people around the world. But let's talk a little bit about that. Why is hemp such a good product for ethanol?
Well, hemp produces significantly more cellulose per acre than corn does. It grows significantly higher, and it has the fan leaves, which is something that corn doesn't have because it grows with the actual ears.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot more that's accessible and more readily accessible in terms of the process that the plant needs to go through before it becomes something we can put into our gas tank.
Yeah. So less raw product makes more stuff.
More of what we want to use in the end.
All right. Well, that's kind of impressive. Is there harvesting equipment now on the market to take care of this?
There is, and actually, a majority of that is made. The most popular equipment is made by John Deere. Most of the harvesters that we've seen in Europe and other places where they're growing large scale operations of this are John Deere tractors.
Really?
We can help one industry, and again, a byproduct is that maybe John Deere sells a few more tractors.
But as you know, I mean, we take a look at the commodity prices right now that are really low compared to what they were several years ago, and the cyclic nature of this. So this really – and, of course, John Deere's laid off over, I think it's 1,400 workers in not only the construction area but also the agricultural area. So this could have a really boost on that as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So there you go. That's the agricultural side of this. What about other products that we can make from hemp?
Well, there's a lot of different kinds of foodstuffs that we can make from hemp also. The seeds are not only good for the oils that have really all of the omega content that you would need on a daily basis, but as far as the hemp hearts themselves, they can be used as a food to be cooked with other things. They can be used in granola, bars that you would buy at grocery stores or health food stores, and you can even sell the pressed seed cake if you were to take that oil out of it, and you can turn around and sell that to companies that make protein powders that you see people drink at the gym.
So there's a protein equivalency here too.
Absolutely. Those seeds are Have been tested to show very high levels of protein. You can actually crack one open and see a big, thick, white ball of protein material. And it's also got an ideal mixture of fatty acids as well as your essential amino acids. So in terms of a health food supplement, it really is a perfect raw material to be using in protein shakes, health foods, things like that.
So we've got
– No, I was just going to say, I mean, hemp is right now something you can go buy at Hy-Vee in their health food section. The only difference is instead of it being grown in Iowa, let's say, is that it's grown in Canada or it's grown in India and then shipped in.
Really? Yep. I had no idea.
Absolutely. You can hold hemp seeds. You can find at some of the health food stores actually hemp seed oil, which is cooking oil like
And so
olive
this
oil.
Is an industry that we could have here in Iowa if the Iowa legislature would say, yeah, we can do this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And a lot of the processing for these products is minimal, and we already have the infrastructure to do it in a lot of places.
We're talking with Chris Disbro, ladies and gentlemen, and Aaron Shaneman. We're talking about hemp production and the economics of it here in the state of Iowa. All right, so we've covered agriculture. We've covered some foodstuffs. There's other things you can make with hemp, right?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of exciting new areas where people are working and incorporating hemp. And one of the ones I find most exciting is in bioplastics. BMW is actually using hemp fibers in their new bioplastic for their doors, and they end up being lighter weight and just as strong, if not stronger, than the materials they've been using previously. So we're talking about renewable for all of these plastics that we see building up, you know, and don't biodegrade. We can do a renewable source for that that then will break down over time.
Okay. And finally, I understand that you can make clothing out of this stuff.
Oh, most definitely. Cloth is – yeah, different kinds of cloth is one of the bigger industries in China right now for their textiles that we get.
Really?
Yeah, there are antimicrobial properties that hemp has, and that makes it a very unique kind of textile to work with if you're working with clothes or if you're thinking about hospitals even. You know, hospitals have a lot of sick patients, and you need to constantly change out bed sheets. Antimicrobial properties with hemp and hemp bed sheets would probably, I would think, be a good addition to a mainstream hospital. You know, you wouldn't need to be buying sheets that have silver threaded into them, and that's pretty expensive.
Yeah, we're talking about hemp production, the economics of that, and what it could mean for the state of Iowa. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I don't want to – we have been singing the praises of hemp here for the past 8 minutes or so, 9 minutes. Where do we go from here? What has to happen so that we can take advantage of what sounds like a miracle crop?
Well – I'll start by saying I don't like the word miracle crop. It seems to say that this is a panacea, and it's not. There will be hurdles going forward, but it is something we think will be very beneficial for the state of Iowa. And right now, really the best thing people can do if they want to move this forward is to call and write their legislators. When you call in, tell them you're a constituent, they will answer. In addition, we have an interim study committee coming up to look at hemp. And so we would encourage farmers and other interested parties to look at the legislative website and come out and potentially ask questions and learn a little bit about how this crop can work here in Iowa.
And if folks want more information, they can go directly to your website.
Absolutely. They can find us at the iowahempassociation.com.
Iowahemp.org.
Iowahemp.org. Thank you. And on Facebook at Iowa Hemp and on Twitter as well.
Well, it just sounds – and I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, both of these gentlemen that are standing here, I did this without notes. I mean, this is really a passion for you guys, isn't it?
Very much so. I see that, you know, this is a plant that we used to grow that a lot of American history is based on even, and we kind of completely ignored that.
Yeah. Where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? Where did it go south?
Oh, we could conspiracy theory our way from the 1920s through the 1960s for hours.
Okay,
but it's a long history that we're proud to be a part of helping to bring back.
And
just like Silicon Valley and the technological revolution led to innovation, we can have that same kind of innovation in a center here that's doing the same thing agriculturally.
Chris Disbro, ladies and gentlemen, and Aaron Shaneman from the Iowa Hemp Association. Thanks, guys, for coming in and talking about this. This is good stuff.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Wow. How about that? All right, we've got to clear on out of here. Tyler says that it's nigh on to 6 o'clock. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer, as he is each and every evening. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. The music that you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good night.